So this is still active on the WHYY.org website. There was audio, but it's a dead link now. So I know it's a little bit ancient, but I think it's important to our brief discussion tonight. This is from May 6th, 2009. Delaware legislator doesn't like taste of budget.
State Representative John Kowalko is serving up an alternative: hold the pay cut for state employees. During his State of the State address last week, Delaware Governor Mayor Jack Markell John Carney sent a message to the General Assembly. In a nutshell, he told legislators if there's a part of his budget proposal they don't like, they better come up with a better idea. On Tuesday, one state representative attempted to do just that by announcing a series of alternatives to the governor's plan to cut state employees' pay by 8%. In front of a supportive audience of union leaders, State Rep. John Kowalko unveiled an assortment of options that would more than cover the $91 million in proposed salary cuts. Among them, tweaking the personal income tax codes, which alone, Kowalko says, could generate at least $82 million in revenue. Kowalko: it can be a multitude of the options that equal that, or it could be two or three of those options that equal that. And that is certainly what I think I owe my colleagues and the governor as an alternative. He's asked for that, and I think I've given him that. Union heads say they like what they hear, and that it's now up to state legislators to make it happen. A state worker rally is scheduled for Wednesday afternoon at Legislative Hall to oppose the proposed salary cut.
In the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast, I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. Hello. We have a fun show tonight because we have a couple of segments that we want to introduce. But before we do that, let me introduce the people who are here. The senior legal correspondent, Bill Martin. Bill, hello.
Good evening, Rob. I'm also here to discuss MLMs.
That's right. Look, can I interest you in some baskets, possibly, or... Did I ever tell you I saw the Longenbrunger basket world headquarters in Ohio? It's shaped like a basket.
Okay.
It's very weird.
This feels very Midwestern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roadside attraction.
Super producer Carl is here. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
So, our first segment that you're going to hear once we do this intro is from councilperson Sinead Darby. Number one, she has an interesting story about a run-in she had with, I guess, Wilmington's finest. We're not sure, though, really. Could be some sort of task force. We don't know. You'll hear about it. And you'll be hearing more about it as well. But the other thing that Sinead announced is her bid for the state legislature. Namdi out, Sinead in. And it's extremely important that we support Sinead at this time. Should go without saying, but I want to point something out. Last week in Spotlight, Delaware, they finally shit-canned the tax bracket bill. And our friendly neighborhood dipshit, Mimi Minor Brown, basically says we don't want to rush it. We don't want to rush. It's going to be a rushed tax bracket bill. We need people who understand incremental income tax.
I don't know what that looks like right now. Maybe that's convening a group. Maybe that's a task force. We have to do it right, and I don't know if we're ready to do it right now.
Look, you
wrong. It can't be a rush job. It has to be a comprehensive approach to taxes.
What a fucking dingbat. Yeah, so Kowalko brought this up some 16 years ago. So shut the fuck up, you fucking dummy. Like, we haven't really talked about, and I know people were probably like thinking I'm going to talk about Ray Moore getting sort of cashiered off of her education committee for fucking bullshit. But again, this is what petty tyrants, you know, petty little fucking nobodies, this is how they operate. Because they can't really operate the gears of power. So they just take like little petty decisions and this and that. And it doesn't really matter if, you know, if you've done the same thing or your colleagues have done the same thing or your colleagues have done worse. Like, it doesn't matter. There's no hypocrisy has nothing to do with it. You're going to take the pettiest, you know, little chance you have. And that's just another fucking empty-headed windbag, Mimi Minor Brown. It's not rushed. Cuoco filed this bill, filed a bill about this like 5 years ago. He rolled out the proposal in 2009. Like, maybe you're dabbing on us. Like, maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to say task force and look like an asshole, but it'll, like, get everybody riled up. I just don't think she's that smart. So I think she just says task force because that's what kind of what you say.
That's what comes next.
Yeah, that's and you're just like...
When you're stalling. Just
like, yeah, when you're stalling. Like, and again, I've kind of had it out with the editors over there at the Spotlight. I'm like, look, you can't ask a follow-up here. Like, hey, aren't these ideas like 16 years old? What expert in incremental tax increases? Like, this is how the federal income tax works. Everybody understands how it works. You know, you said you wanted to diversify revenue. Yeah, you're not going to fool me. I know that's all bullshit. Save it for the fucking rubes. But we're watching you. We're watching you very, very closely.
Diversify the revenue is like we're going to fix Leibor some more next year.
Yeah, like, look, you're inept. You don't work that much. Everything is just set up for you to sit, for people to sit on the Joint Finance Committee, pretend there's a crisis, and then there's not a crisis, but you already had everybody come in and grovel to you. Like, we all understand how it works. You're not fucking fooling anyone. So just understand that part of it. But again, this is what made me think about Shanae coming in talking about this, because we need more. The Medinas of the world need help. We need to send reinforcements, because this shit is not going to fly. This fucking bullshit. Task force. We're rushing it. You're not rushing it, stupid. We know that. It's still on the internet. Did you Google search it? If you were confused. Secondly, number two, a good friend of ours, Mr. C, came in for like a late night little recording. We popped the microphones on. Nobody was here. Just me and him having a nice sesh. But I do want to announce that he is currently the proprietor of the High Times YouTube channel. That's HYGHTYMES.
So no intellectual property concerns with...
Not the magazine?
The magazine.
Correct. We've covered that. I like that's why you're here. That's the first thing you think of. Hey. You're like, oh, just got to protect the brand. Yes, but he is also now moving over to Roku. So he has a licensed Roku channel that he's developing different kinds of content for. You can actually download it now on Roku. Just search for High Times, the way I just spelled it. We actually talked about potentially figuring out some stuff that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Do some content, throw it up there for fun. But yeah, it's a fun conversation. It's something a little different, and it's a little chill. So you get that this week too. Well, folks, that's it. Let's get into Shanae. I hope you enjoy that story. There'll be more on Shanae's incident as well. We're looking into it. And then just chill out with Mr. C. He's the shit. And, oh yeah, also, left is best. Comrades and friends, hello.
Hello.
This is Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker podcast. One of the things we want to do today in our sort of show of segments is make a huge, huge announcement. And here to help me make that huge, huge, exciting announcement is a council member from Wilmington, Shanae Darby. Hello.
Yes. Hello. How are you doing? I'm doing good.
Yeah, lot of shit going down.
It is a lot of shit happening, man. I like a lot of shit happening.
Yeah, it is very fun, actually. Well... It's been announced. Do you want to announce it yourself? I think
yes,
you should.
I am running for State Representative District 1. which is majority of the of North Wilmington, the north side in the city. Some parts of the 8th District. I believe I have a big chunk of Trolley Square area. I don't know of any. I'm learning the 8th District because I don't know if I have any other neighborhoods, but we're mapping that out now. And this is, I lost in the 8th Councilmatic District. So I'm trying to build a stronger presence over the summertime. I feel like it was because people don't know me. Like, I don't do a lot on this side of town. So just building that up right now. So
yeah, that's just exciting stuff. I mean, what's been the well, first of all, I mean, I think it should be pretty clear what you're trying to do, but you want to give the pitch? I mean, what is it?
Yes, Nnamdi Chukwuocha is the current state representative for District 1. He's been, I think, about 3 terms at this point. So terms are for 2 years. Is it? Yes, 2 years for state representative. Sometimes it's 4, isn't it?
No,
that's for Senate.
Sometimes I think Senate's longer.
Okay,
but then there's some year. I see. This is,
yeah. Some years are.
What you're going to realize right now is normally we wouldn't be having this conversation because Carl would be here. But since not here,
Carl,
we're just like, who knows? We don't know.
we don't know.
We don't even care.
But I think it's every 2 years.
It is every 2 years for a rep, and I know it's for a senator.
Senator, yes.
I know that there's some, for some reason, there's like a quirk in the system where they all go together, and maybe because they redistricted after
maybe
the census. I don't
but
know.
Yeah, but
again,
yeah,
folks, if Carl was here, this would all be solved. Frankly, we do not care about it.
Yeah, but Nnamdi every 2 years, so he's been in for about 6 years, and he has done absolutely nothing. Any legislation that he has received has been because someone else is pushing it, so he's at the whim of another entity like Eminent Domain that he tried to do about 2 years ago. That wasn't even a him bill. That was someone just pushing it on him to go through him.
Oh, we know.
Yeah.
We happened to be there when that was going down, and we saw all the BPGs and Przikis. We saw everybody coming down. Yeah,
and I can't think of one, like, if I think of Nnamdi, I can't think of like one piece of legislation where I'm like, oh yeah, that was a Nnamdi thing. What I do remember or know him for is really pretty much just growing up. He was a community person. He was a poet. He went around to the high schools. His family did a lot of community work. You know, his stepfather was William Hicks Anderson, the community center that's named after him, his stepfather. So I know those things. I know those things about him. But since becoming in office, I haven't heard anything good about him.
Yeah, I can say that. You know, we do have a lot of like younger people listening. We do have a lot of younger people getting politically involved in campaigns and other things, or people who have moved here from other places. Yeah, Nnamdi and his brother Al Mills were, you know, sort of like their stepfather, or I guess father and stepfather. They were community people. They did community organizing. They were artists and wrote poetry. They would go out and do spoken word poetry around the area. And they just got, I guess, sucked into Delaware Way bullshit as a way to, like, oh, here's people in the community. No, they'll kind of do whatever, you know, whatever the thing to do is. They won't, like, rock the boat or anything. And yeah, so they've both, you know, dipped their toe in the political water. But Nnamdi has sort of, like, been able to root in without a lot of pressure. So I'm wondering, you know, how it's going to go this time, because I'll be honest with everyone. I've heard rumors. Again, these are just rumors, things we're hearing. So we don't need to, like, run too far away. I mean, you can keep telling the rumors, but, you know, I'm just letting you know. I've heard from multiple people that Nnamdi is just, like, he's not cut out for this. It's not his bag, you know. He got his place, as many in the Delaware Way do, by, you know, just being recognized in the community and people knowing that, you know, that the voice will be the voice of, you know, the Delaware Way. Carney, Przikki, BPG, anti-cop, or excuse me, wrong,
pro-cop.
thinking about myself. But yeah, well, that's another thing we'll talk about in a minute. But he's an obstacle to any kind of police reform. I can tell you that personally. But I also know that he knows he's not cut out for it. I don't think he's an enthusiastic Republican or representative.
Republican.
Again, that's another Freudian slip. I just don't think he's an enthusiastic elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think considering your where you're coming from, the enthusiasm, the energy that the community has, I should just bow out now. I mean, it's not he's going to get ridden around a little bit. And so that's what I'm saying. That's my mm-hmm. that's my take on it. But anyway, yeah, I think this is really exciting.
And for people who don't know, this is my second go round.
Yes. I was going to mention mm-hmm. that, and I didn't know how you wanted to sort of bring it up, but you sort of made a late decision last time.
Yes.
And everybody got out, and it was actually a lot closer than people would have thought when you only went for about a month, I guess, ahead of time, something like that. And again, I'm not, no judgment here, but yeah, it was like one of those things where I guess, like anything, it's hard to kind of pull the trigger and make a decision that big.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that was the one takeaway that a lot of people had was, you know, given another 2 weeks, month, it would have been, you know, Nandi would have gotten rinsed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, now might be the time for him to just drop out. The writing's on the wall.
I hope so. I know when I ran against him in 2022, I wasn't even thinking about state rep. It wasn't even a thought until he had the meeting at the Powell Center and he told the community it was about the eminent domain. He had a town hall and he told the community if they don't like it, run against them. And I was away on vacation with my friends, and I would never forget. I don't remember who it was they called. It was like, yeah, this is what Nnamdi said. They had clips and videos. I said, you know what? They was like, you should run against them. I think you could get close or beat them. I said, all right, let's do it. And I was like, I can't lose my city council seat. It's a win-win for me. So if I lose, I still remain a politician. So for me, it wasn't like a hard decision when I was asked.
Yeah.
So I did it, and I didn't have a lot of time because it was like end of July, and primaries is in September. So I just decided to do it, and I know for a fact that I beat him at the polls. And when the absentee ballots came in, I lost by 90 votes. So I understand that if I had more times, I know I do better with him in the at the polls, right? And I didn't even have an absentee ballot plan. Like, I didn't even think of him because it was such a short notice of like running. I didn't even think about absentee ballots, right? It wasn't even on my head. I'm trying to raise money. I didn't raise nearly as much money as he had. He had ice cream trucks and John Carney. He had billboards.
Well, here's the thing: the John Carney endorsement has been really tanking as of late. I think you've probably noticed. So you know, let's see where that goes.
Yeah.
His brand is in the descendancy, and other brands are in the ascendancy. The thing that I think is the biggest sort of hook here is I'm interested to see, because there's a guy in this neighborhood who is, we call him lovingly and jokingly, the old Irish potato, Bud Friel. And I know
I like that name for him.
Yes, and I know that Bud was out the last time talking about, he was just... There's a great story of someone who saw him out canvassing for Nnamdi, and he just had a printout of the Facebook post that you made, the funny meme about the cops. Like some of those who work forces are the same that burn crosses.
Yeah.
It's in the song. He was like, what do you think about this? And the person was like, I actually like that. I think it's pretty funny. You know, so like I know the forces, and I'm only sort of, because, you know, Bud was integral in the selection and installation of the two senators that were just state senators that were just
Dan Cruz
and Ray's back. He couldn't beat Larry, but I guess he sucked enough people off to come back. But yeah, I mean, we don't want do nothings. We don't want executives. We don't want this. We want people in the community and people who are going to take action and people that we know haven't let us down. So yeah, this is very dope. Very exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. I know, like, I could do more work around like maternal health care. Like, that's one of my big things that I do in the community. Like,
black
on
mothers
city,
in power.
Yeah, black, like on a city level, it's not a lot that I could do. So I'm so excited to be able to do that. I'm so excited too because I feel like the Wilmington delegation on the state end, they don't have a great relationship with city council. And a lot of the things that we need to do, we need support state from Wilmington, from Wilmington delegations. We have sent resolutions up for simple things like we want to change the name, the age requirement for you to run for city council. We were trying to lower it. That's something the state has to do, right? So like those little things we wanted to do to get more people to participate, to change some systems in the way we do stuff, it's all at the whim of the hands of our Wilmington delegation. We passed out all the resolutions we passed up over 4 years. I want you to guess how many of them they passed.
I'm going to have to say zero.
Zero. Absolutely.
Only because I know you, I knew that.
Yes, it's zero. Like literally, I had them, because I'm on the Intergovernmental Committee, so I said, and for my last term, can you list out all the resolutions we sent and then let me know which ones, you know, passed, didn't pass, went up? Literally none of them.
And it's so rich, because when stuff comes up like should we let LLCs vote in Seaford, or should we have a state agency that actually has oversight of a municipality's, you know, police or whatever? Should we have an inspector general? Everybody's so keen on this idea that local rights you can have. If you want to do it locally, we'll sort of be neutral about it. Mm-hmm. Until it comes to Wilmington. Wilmington, that doesn't
yeah.
count.
Yeah. Like count. I always tell people, forget the people for a second, because I know we are a hot mess, right? Different personalities, different things. The very structure of Wilmington City Council in the regards of the real power and what we can do is very limited, or it doesn't make sense, or they make us that it's not an equal footing that we have as the executive branch. We don't have the same power as them. Like, no, at all. Like, we have a legal department. The legal department is supposed to represent both of us. They do not represent both of us. There's times that our legislation got leaked over to the mayor administration. There's times that we don't agree, but they'll side with the mayor administration. And then we're like, what can we do? Nothing. We got our own lawyers. You know what they wrote in the contract? They can't trump them. They can't, like, let's say the city's solicitor office, the lawyer's office, they create a memo about opinion on something. We still can't use our attorneys we hired to do a countering memo,
because they're your representatives and you just have to take it. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's
Przycki really went a long way to consolidate that executive power. I'm not telling anybody who listens to this something they don't know, but you know, he had his arm in and his whole body in to, you know, corporate real estate and corporate power and corporate money. And so that's he was able to consolidate that power in the executive branch. And now, Carney is a dolt and a vapid freaking douchebag, but he has a team that's been here who can pull the levers in Delaware. And so that's the same thing is going to happen. And I agree with you, like everybody, and I think we've talked about this many times, like, yes, this Wilmington City Council is a body that's dysfunctional. It's a hot mess. Like you said, all that's true. However, we do have to understand that the power has been concentrated in the executive, and a lot of the stuff that you see play itself out, that's why you're seeing it play itself out.
Yeah. And we need the state to help us with stuff like that. But those conversations, or even the conversation about the port that's happening, there's about to be an expansion to Claymont with the ports, right? So there was one point in time I was talking about, we should annex and then take that portion that's going to Claymont, because we could still get headcount taxes from it, right? So I'm proposing these things. I really need the state to be like, yes, that's what we want. But I'm not going to get that from them. I could pull up a resolution and say, hey, this, that, and the third. But I have found other ways of working directly with, like, Matt Myers, Governor Myers, to say, is this a conversation that you're open to make sure that Wilmington doesn't lose out on the head count, Wilmington doesn't, a head tax that we get for each person who works within city limits? And why would you want the port to be in two jurisdictions? So, and then the Wilmington loses some sort of power. One thing you never give up is land or money or resources. Yeah. So,
I mean, you know, my opinion on the port's well documented.
But it's happening.
So
they're expanding.
I also want to talk about the incident that happened to you over the weekend.
Yes.
So I went to Medina's sold out comedy show.
Go ahead, Medina.
Blew it up. Room was packed. It was shot for, the special will be out. It'll probably take a few months to do all the editing and making it look nice, but it'll be out as a special, as a video special. It ruled. But Joe Connor, friend of show, comes in and goes, "Did you hear what happened to Shanae?" And I was like, "Oh no," because I know that could be anything.
I was like, what?
And so he just told me that you had a run-in with the police. So can you explain what the hell went down?
Yeah, and I want to say that I have run-in with police all the time, right? I didn't fully stop or whatever it may be. And I'm usually the driver. I take my ticket and go, right? I don't really use my city council. I did the thing, right? And I have not had a terrible encounter in a while. Right. So for this one, it was this really unusual where I was actually a passenger, and the police officer who pulled us over stated that the person did not turn on their turning signal. So he's pulling us over for that. Cool. Give him his ticket. He gave him his ID, his registration. Everything was, gave it to the guy. The guy was asking a lot of questions like, everything is in here, like asking like very. It was just odd questions he was asking them.
Was he in a marked city?
He was in a marked city car.
Marked city car.
Right. Okay. So he's talking to him. I'm just minding my business, waiting for him to get his ticket. And then he says he needs to identify me. And I'm like, no, you don't. Like, I am not going to allow you to violate me in that way. No, you don't. And I didn't even have my ID because literally the person I was riding with was like, hey, come with me around the corner. Yeah. And I just ran outside, got in the passenger seat and went around the corner.
You don't need an ID to take a car ride.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm in the car. Right. So I didn't have my, so I'm like, I don't have my ID. And if I did have my ID, I'm not giving it to you. So he started saying like, I'm violating. I have to listen to him. He started getting loud and authoritative. Like, you have to listen to me type thing. And then I look over at my window. It's a probation officer. It said big probation across his torso. And I'm looking like, why is there a probation officer on my side asking me to identify myself? And I told the probation officer, I'm not identifying myself. And I was trying to roll the window back up because the guy I was with rolled the window down for me to talk to him. I said, I don't have nothing to say. Well, he had no authority.
Put it right back up.
No authority over me. I don't have to talk to him. But they started like stating case law. They started to like say that I have to. And I said, you know what? I'm calling Chief Campos on you guys right now. So I called Chief Campos, and Chief Campos was away on vacation, and he really answered his phone. I didn't know he was on vacation at the time, but he answered his phone and he talked to the police officer, and then the police officer let us go. He said, you guys can go. He never issued us a ticket for the supposedly didn't have their turn signal on and did not continue his investigation to ID me after that. And for me, I felt like if I did not have the contacts I had, and then if I didn't have to tell him, like, you know, I'm a city, like, I never use, like, I'm such a humble person. I do not walk around.
As a matter of fact, you were saying you didn't want to say who you were.
Yeah, I didn't want to say who I was.
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah. Like, I did not. But his tune and everything changed when he got Chief Campos on the phone, and I told him, I'm actually a city councilwoman. Like, and what you're doing is wrong. So from there, I talked to a few other people in the police department and in the administration. So I am going to be submitting like a complaint. I'm going to ask for body cam footage. I'm going to pull this out. I know the ACLU and NAACP already spoke to them because they have a lawsuit currently out.
That's right.
For this same very acting thing, because I know that I was not an isolated incident. Right. And I also know people don't know their rights, and then people don't have the power and privilege I have by being in this seat. Right. So I have certain power and privilege to access the people where I have Chief Campos direct line. Other people don't have that when they pull over just to call the chief of police.
You can really see how it would go if you didn't like have the direct number.
Yeah, if I didn't have that direct number, they probably would have to pull me out that car. Because I was not willingly getting out. I was not willingly getting out. You guys will have to pull me out, lock me up, put in whatever. My mom will put the money up to get me. Somebody's coming to get me. So I'm not, it was not happening, but I started to feel very uncomfortable. That's why I called Chief Campos. I did not feel safe. I felt like they were going to start crossing the line, but someone told me they were jump squad. So I guess there's, is it Safe Streets? I think that's what their real name is.
Well, they call them Operation Safe Streets.
Yes.
Sometimes they're called the Governor's Task Force. They're just like, yeah, we did a big story about them a few years ago in the call. And I interviewed, I think her name was Cherie Congo. lived over in Browntown, but she was the victim of one when they came up into her house.
And, yes.
And like chased her up the steps and all that stuff. Yeah, these people, and again, because they have, the rules are real murky about what they can do, because it's like, well, we're actually looking for people who are like violating their parole. Maybe there's a habeas warrant or whatever. Like, so their rules are like, it's like a little mini ICE. Like they're trying to get over in this gray area, try to intimidate people, get information on
yes.
them, like all kinds of stuff. It's real. It's very strange. Now, do you know? So, but you don't know for sure that's what it was. But it is weird with probate. Like, what's somebody that has like a probation jacket out?
Yeah, like, why doing was traffic, he out for traffic, me? Traffic stop. Like,
which again was probably bullshit. I mean maybe again, perhaps the driver didn't signal. I don't know if people get pulled over for that all the time.
Cool.
Perhaps he did, and he just didn't forget, and they're just trying to, you know, get one over. The whole thing stinks.
Yeah, like, that part, okay, give him his ticket. Let us fight that in court if we did or did not. But the fact that now you're trying to violate my rights, that was crossing the line. He should have just gave him his ticket and kept it moving. But no, you want to ask all these questions. And another question I don't like that police ask, where are you coming from and where are you going? Why do I gotta tell you where I'm going and where I'm coming from? I don't have to tell you that information. And they ask you that and make you seem like you have to tell them. Because they asked us, where are you going?
Yeah, they always want to try to catch you in some sort of like, for you to incriminate yourself in some way. Or they're like, I actually can ask you on section 1292, the Kelly case says if I deem
this. Yeah, they
this,
start
I
can do, the case law.
You know what? I'm gonna call my attorney. I'm not fucking saying
like,
and
what?
Again, this is... This is advice that, you know, you're going to have to kind of decide, you know, how you can know your rights and use them. I got into it with the decrypt, one of the ex-decrypt, the DAG, the attorney general guys who are supposed to prosecute the police, because understanding that exercising your right may have them jump in the car and pull you out. That's just a fact.
Yep.
So, this is going forward. This is the understanding. But the fact of the matter is, don't say shit to anybody. Now, if you get pulled over for a traffic stop, give him your license and registration, whatever. Take your ticket. That's it. But any other questions? Don't fucking say anything. You're better. And even if they tell you that the fucking Supreme Court says that I can stick my thumb up your ass, don't do shit. Because they lie, too. I mean, cops are probably the biggest liars on the face of the earth.
Yes.
So, you know, that's just the thing that people are going to have to... It's very scary.
Yeah.
And when I heard... See, I didn't know you weren't the driver at first, and, like, I'm starting to piece it all together. And as I started thinking about it, and you mentioned it, too, like, these things start to escalate, and you start to feel like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yes! Like, what? I'm calling Chief Campos because I know y'all are about to pull me out because I felt myself rising and getting hot. And I'm like, I am going to cuss everybody out and I'm going to get pulled out because I'm going to say, no, y'all not getting out this goddamn. I was going to cuss them out and say, let me call Chief Campos because I am going to go to jail. So I had to call him. I knew I felt it.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable.
I want to ask you one last question, too. I talked to Kobe about a week ago. And we just briefly chatted about the Police Accountability Board. Now, we know that there are municipalities that still don't have one. I think there's about over a dozen. We know that there are municipalities that have them, but that aren't having regular meetings or not having public meetings. We know that there's police accountability boards that are basically just chaired and co-chaired by the police, et cetera, et cetera. Wilmington is a place that doesn't have one. My understanding is that the council has made their sort of nominations and provided that to the mayor's office, and that's just not moving anywhere. That's my impression of it. On one hand, I can understand why it's not moving anywhere, and it makes me mad. On the other hand, maybe we're better off because I see, like, Carney put it on the homeless task force, Claire DeMatteis, who ran the torture chambers here, ran the prisons in Delaware. So I thought it was a real eye opener to see, you know, who would be best suited to deal with the homeless population. in Wilmington, the person who ran the prisons. That's pretty disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which way I go on this, because anybody that Carney picks is going to be a disgusting pig. And if he doesn't, then we don't have the apparatus that we need to at least have public discussions about police accountability and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know where it's good, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so one of our staff members is working on the nomination. So I know from my understanding, the holdup is they're looking, you have to live within the city of Wilmington limits, right? So some of the people who were nominated did not live within the city of Wilmington limits. There's two positions they're waiting to fill. We need a mental health person. And then the other position, I can't remember what it is, but there's two vacant positions where they need specifically someone who lives in the city of Wilmington. So when she told me she couldn't find it, because I'm like, what's the holdup? She was like, I'm looking for these two positions. I said, like, why don't we put it on social media? Do a press release blast and say we need this. Because I know we have those people and professions in the city, but you have to market it. You have to, like, put it out there. Put it on social media. Like, let people know we're looking for nominations for these specific occupations.
Yeah, or let somebody know so that you can go out in the community, or you can tell your, you know, your district, hey, you know, we're looking for this kind of person. We're looking for somebody from the religious community. We're
looking
for
somebody whatever
from
it
this,
is,
for that, for this, for that, and you know, like we all know people that we can at least put up and say, hey, is this something you want to do? Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity here.
Yeah,
but of course, nobody even takes the initiative to do.
Yeah, so I was like, why don't y'all just do that? And they were like, oh, let's talk to Trippy about it, see if it's okay. So I know that conversation is happening, but some of the things to me is like common sense. You can't find the person, there's no nominations, market it, put it back out to the community. Like, but hey, who am I?
Yeah, well, that's the thing too, is you could find somebody, but they would probably be good. I could find somebody that fit the description. They would be good. I mean, the mayor's office could find somebody that fits the description, but they would be bad. So I'm glad that they're not even looking, because I'd rather wait an extra 6 months and get a few people on there that at least have the best interests of the community in mind. So who knows? I'm just interested. We're from a no cap and a police reform perspective. We're tracking all of it, and we have different groups in different counties trying to figure out what's going on, what boards are up, what boards, you know, need maybe a little lesson on best practices, what boards need to get sort of, you know, stood up at least and start to have public meetings, like in Smyrna and other places, Georgetown, I think, you know, like not, you know, significant places that people live. So,
Yeah, so that was the experience. And I feel like for me, it's bigger than me, because I know there's people who don't have a voice, people who don't know their rights, who don't have the privilege and power I have sitting in a city council seat. And like, this is bigger than me. This is going to be, as I do my investigation, this is like, it has to end. It has to stop. And I actually had a piece of legislation last year I was working on with the ACLU to end Operation Safe Street.
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, we had a piece of legislation that, I say we, you know, sort of the police reform community, whatever you want to say, that was, you know, trying to push for no stop traffic tickets. So, you know, you run a stop sign, a red light. It's like a red light camera, but for kind of different stuff. They have it in Philadelphia. They have it other places. And we were pitching it like a public safety thing. Like, okay, somebody doesn't signal or rolls through a stop sign. Okay, they get their ticket mailed. You don't have to have an interaction. And that's that. So everybody sort of wins.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not interested in that, because they want to use these stops as a predicate to ask the person in the passenger seat where they're going, who they are, what there's there anything in the car. It smells like weed in here, all that stuff. Like, so, I mean, everybody should sort of understand what the dynamic of this is.
Yeah.
Well, Shanae, thank you so much for popping in and giving us this exciting news.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, look, I would love to have this race. I would love to see Nnamdi just get washed. But in he's a, you know, a Wilmington guy, so maybe it's just a little more appropriate if he was just like, you know what, I like to retire. I go back to the community and do community things, write. Perform your poetry.
Nah, he likes to sit there and get the checks.
Well, yeah, I think that's that's part of it too.
And so, I heard he was using some of the funding for organizations that he gets paid through. Was state money.
But. Well, folks, we have a lot of rumor and innuendo. Rumors. We're just telling you what we hear. We're saying people are saying it.
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say that all of that stuff, whether people double dip, they use funds, whether they have conflicts of interest, mm-hmm. like that's all selective. That's all within context. It's like some people have a conflict of interest. Some people, it's just that their brother's a state senator and they run a state agency.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay. All right. Again, as we said in the Kathy v. Kathy, nepotism not against the law, but sometimes it looks real weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's always that thing. It's like there are people that have their stuff set up in such a way that, you know, it would take a full investigation to pick it apart, but they're shady. It's shady. Mm-hmm. So but yeah, this is something I'm really excited for. I talked about it last night. We have a core group of really strong, active, enthusiastic legislators in Dover, but they need help. You know, the Medinas and the Larry Lamberts and the Sophie Phillips of the world, they need help. And we need, this is what we need. This is what we need to do. I mean, this is not going to come to any surprise to anybody listening here, but we're Shanae till we die. So let's think about strategy. Think about how you might spend your time next year.
Yep, next year.
Okay. So how you might spend your time next year, knocking doors, mm-hmm. making text messages, Shanae, not for the city, for the state.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
Let's go.
Yeah, thanks, Shanae.
Of course.
Left is best. Hello, everyone. Rob here. You're going to get something very special tonight. From the Highlands Bunker podcast. We are in the shadow of Rockford Tower. We're behind enemy lines. We're in the belly of the Delaware Way beast. But it's late nights. It's chill hours. Carl, super producer Carl, doesn't even know this is being recorded right now. So we're just going to have a fun conversation with a fun dude. I want to introduce to you a friend of mine. Who actually I just saw a week ago, or about a week ago, when I was in Rehoboth at the Global Cannabis March, talking about no cap stuff. Our friend, he's an artist. He makes videos. He's an all around fun guy, Mr. C. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's happening, man? How you feeling? It is Mr. C, aka it's Goldie Baby. And I came out as Goldie tonight to chill with you a little bit. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it. I love that you stopped by. Can you explain to everyone a little bit about your background and your art? And then we can talk about like your videos and some of the other advocacy you've done.
Oh, wow. All right. It's good. You know, you're...
Am I testing you too early?
You are being interviewed. The interviewer is now the interviewee. So, let's see. Where do I start? I am Mr. C. I host a platform on YouTube. It's called High Times. And then we have High Times, High Conversation on WJVS. You can download that app and catch me the first and third Mondays. At 6 to 7 p.m. with my man Prince, we do High Conversation, and we do 420 Church. I am also, you know, you're the first person to actually call me an artist, because that's kind of funny.
Well, here's the thing.
I do art.
Just to like let people know, because we met.
At the Brandywine Art Fair.
Right, through Zoe Patchell, who was our mutual friend and comrade. And... when you were there, you had some art that you made. You were making videos as an advocate for cannabis and for your channel and that stuff. And so you were talking, you talked to Misty Siemens about public defender stuff and all. Mm-hmm. But you had art.
Do have art. Yeah. Yes, I do have art. I do it when I'm blazed.
Well.
It seems that I can be very creative. When I'm blazed.
I do art too when I'm blazed. You're looking at it.
Hey, so it comes in all different forms of fashions.
Sure.
So, you know, so I do that. I advocate for the cannabis with Zoe whenever she needs me. Mainly, I'm there a lot in spirit because she's in Dover and we're all the way up here. However, I was, as you said, I was at the Global Cannabis March. I think I started going about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I've been down there, captured it on video. And if you go to my channel, which is High Times, which is spelled HYGHTYMES.
We will link to it.
Yes.
Any show we send out, we will link to your channel.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that interview too, because I've been on your channel.
Yeah, they could see the show yeah. with you on it. And we were when I first learned your name, Rob Vanilla, I was like, okay.
I completely forgot we had that conversation until I saw when you said it was up, and I went and looked at it.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah. and I remember what I said, because I say it all the time. I'm like, you know. I've heard them all.
You've heard them all.
I've heard them all. I've heard swirl, butter pecan, strawberry, chocolate, all of it. Ice, yes. Vanilla ice, ice baby. I tell you what, when vanilla ice came out, it was not a great year for the vanilla kids.
Wow. To be honest with you. But that was interesting.
Yeah, it was a fun. But that's where we met. Yeah.
Yep. That's where we met. And I can say it's been a good thing. It's been a real good thing so far. We've been, you know, I had you on the show, and I appreciate you coming by, dropping some knowledge on the people. That's always good. I like when people just look at my show, and I have to tell them we don't get high. We don't just get high. We rise higher. That's one of my sayings. We don't just get high. We rise higher. So as we elevate our minds and our bodies, I want to also educate us on what's going on, so people know what's happening, what's going on. You know, what is it? What are you talking about? It's not just what we would say. I'm going to launch a TV channel, so it's not a bunch of stoners. You know, it's not just a bunch of people sitting around getting high. It's people having fun, getting elevated, like-mindedness, having some good old fun. You know, you can go to the bar and drink for an hour or two.
I do.
And, you know, I don't know how those conversations end. A lot of times I see people screaming at each other.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, it's funny. I don't know what your experience is of this. You know, I've been smoking in public for, 20 years. Okay. And for a long time, it was like, you know, you would kind of sneak off into a corner of the porch or the patio, go out to the corner. I mean, you come back in, people know you smoke, but there's really not much they can say about it, or they might say something about it, but they can't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
To now where it's pretty much accepted. Like if you're out at a pub or a restaurant outside, or if you're on the street outside of a theater or whatever, you can do it. But the idea, there's still this weird stigma about, like, and you said, you're running into it now because, your channel's High Times, you're a cannabis activist. So people are like, is it a bunch of stoners just sitting around it? No, it's not.
Right.
You know, it's not. I find it's crazy.
It is. You're educating people. I was smoking a long time too. I used to buy, I used to go to the tobacco store, buy the cigarette tubes, fill the cigarette tubes with them, and it would look like a cigarette. When people would be looking around like, who's smoking? Because he has a cigarette in his hand. So when it's a bunch of people who used to smoke outside of venues and everything. So now it's just, you know, I kind of look at this situation and I say, is it really a good thing or is it just a problem? Like, we were fine. Now we're legal and you're making it difficult to do something that you're saying is legal.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is illogical nonsense. But we live in Delaware, so we love that stuff. I mean, we were talking before. I'm speaking with Zoe this week, and a new bill was introduced.
Oh yeah,
about the criminalization of hemp growing or something.
Yeah.
Deb Heffernan in Wilmington's just like, who is this for? Like, who is that for?
Yeah, is there somebody next to him growing up? Do they have a farm next door to him or something?
Yeah, or they're trying to, like, carve out something that's going to go to other people so it can't be, you know, it can't be something everybody can do because they're going to sell licenses. Like, who is this for? I want
to
know.
I'm trying to understand that, too. That's why I told Zoe, I said to her, look, I can support you and help you in different ways. When it comes to all of this, the legal part of it and all of what you guys got going on, I said, to me, it makes no sense. It's because it's just like, it's like I was watching an old movie. I think it was one of the Al Capone movies when they were talking about prohibition and everything. And I started looking at that and I said, oh, so we had illegal speakeasies and then we made it legal. And I said, oh, we made it legal so they could figure out how to get the money. Now they're trying to figure out how to get the money from weed, and they're just making it so difficult. Why? Colorado, Amsterdam, all these places where it's legal, it seems that there are no problems. They're just getting the money that they need, and they're okay. Atlantic City has this ridiculous tax on theirs. So I'm just at a point where I'm like, you know, let me be the fun side of the weed family.
Yeah, it is. It's typical. I think you hit, you know, you hit basically the biggest part of it is that, like, you got to figure out how to get the money.
That's what they want to do.
And so it's just like, well, how'd you get the money? How can we get the money? How can we, like, well, if we let this happen, will people just do this? And, like, not, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's, and this is something that we were talking about the day we met at the Brandywine Arts Festival. It came up on in a conversation I had a week ago. Well, I mean, weed's legal. Weed's legal. It's not really.
No.
It's not at all. It's actually not at all.
Because according to Zoe, I can only go 10 feet from my house. I could stand on my property and smoke. However, if my neighbor has a problem with me smoking, now we have a problem.
Yeah, it's a weird. And it's funny. It's a classic Delaware thing, too, because you the other thing you said that's like, hits the nail on the head. It's like you can go to Amsterdam or somewhere in California, Seattle.
Yeah.
You can go to Vancouver, Montreal. You can go to Copenhagen. You can go to, you know, all of these places. And we pretend like we don't like. There was a list. I don't know if you saw this. I guess one of the things that they needed to do, the state needed to do to, like, move their license along was put out, like, this health alert.
Right.
Of, like, if, like, you know, if it's this kind of weed, you could get, like, you could get the shits. Or if it's this kind of weed.
Who came up with this?
Like, yeah, so.
Where did y'all do this?
The whole thing, there is a huge, there's a huge part of this that's absolutely absurd that only stoners can appreciate the absurdity of.
That's crazy. Hey, speaking of stoners, I would like to offer your listeners from High Times, I'm not going to say a bunch, we'll just say five.
We'll negotiate.
Well, five.
Actually, my listeners are very cheap. You might have to go, you know what?
No.
We'll negotiate.
No, I'll say five.
Okay.
I'll give them five. I'll give five of your listeners whoever listens to your show, and they would tell me they have to tell you that they tuned in to the actual High Time show, and I'm going to give a password. So, the password, yeah, the password will be on my show.
Okay.
So they have to listen to my show to get the password.
And tell me.
I'll tell you the password. I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you know, I know what it's like. So you don't do dates or anything. So I don't do none of that. So what I'm saying is, this is Mr. C, aka it's Goldie. So what Goldie is saying is Goldie's gonna give you five pre-rolls. Well, Coldie's gonna have five pre-rolls because I'm going out tonight. I gotta have some. But I have five pre-rolls High Times for you. And they're courtesy of the Gray Market Goods. One of my friends up in New Brunswick, he's over at Trappy Hour. They do that every Thursday, and he provided me with a nice bouquet of flowers.
Let's go, folks. Let's go.
You got five that you're going to give away. So all they got to do is let you know the password. So the password, of course, will come on these following shows. So tonight I got to remember that. Have a password. So you'll know the password. We'll just come up with something interesting. All right. And speaking of stoners, what I have this, I'm making a tray. I make trays. And it's, that's my interview for tonight. That is, what kind of stoner are you? Which one are you? Or are you a mix? I'm going to be putting this out in some little things too. So I want you to tell me your type. I have one. Here's one. The Waken Baker. Now, the Waken Baker starts the day with a cloud of intention, coffee in one hand, joint in the other.
Okay.
And he doesn't even get out of bed. He just rolls over.
No,
and picks it up off the nightstand.
So that's where it falls off for me. I can't be that one because I will rise. I will make myself breakfast. I'll do all that stuff. Like I might smoke a joint and drink a cup of coffee, but I'm kind of shot out of a cannon. Like I do work at night and in the morning. So,
okay.
So maybe I skip that. So what's the next
one? So the next one is, I have another one. Where is it at? Okay. The next one is the lightweight. The lightweight is one or two rotations, and they start cracking up. They become paranoid, sleepy, or they just disappear. They're gone. So they're lightweight, but they're legendary. That's a lightweight. Then we have the cloud chaser. The cloud chaser never has a bag, but always finds a session.
Nope. Again, not me. Everybody who knows me knows that I look at it like it's communal. This is one of my very few. I have some tenets of Rastafarianism. So there's a couple tenets of Rasta. If I have it, everyone has it. So I'm not even going there. I'm fine.
They pop up and say, let me hit that.
I know a lot of those people, though. I'll tell you what. I know a lot of those people.
So, yeah. And then you have, this would be you. The social smoker, always has the gas, always ready to share, lights up more for the vibes than the high.
Yeah, so that's pretty much me.
That's you? That's the social one?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's me. I'm the social.
I got a scientist. Now, the scientist knows every terpentine, every strain, has gadgets that you can't even pronounce. Got dab rigs, temp gauges, journals.
This is my shit. This is my, yes. There's a guy I know, I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to say his name. Actually, he wouldn't care. His name's Brian. We'll just call him Brian.
We'll just call him Brian.
Actually, I know two Brians like this. But there's the one Brian I'm thinking of who is just like that. Like
they're the scientists.
He was the first guy to have like the gravity bong where you pull the thing through the water. He's like, no, there's a cloud. He also like when you go to places that are cultured and fun, and you go in to buy weed at a shop, say. You just get something, but they're always like, well, this is 22%. This is sativa blend. And I'm like, look, just give me, I'm not a fucking chemist. Give me the strongest shit you have. You know, I'm not a scientist. I don't need to know all that.
You don't need to know all that.
I don't need.
Then we got the medicinal smoker. They explain how it helps their joints, help their back, help them sleep. That's help their third eye.
That's you know what?
They're not getting high, they're healing.
That's a perfect one.
That's a good one.
Because that's a lot of people a lot of advocates, I would say.
Right, right.
Which, again, I respect that. I will say this, there is an aspect, because I've dealt with low grade depression and anxiety my whole life, just stress related anxiety. That really manifests itself in some not great stuff.
Okay.
And part of me sort of getting out of that cycle was smoking more.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate that aspect of it. I'm not one to talk about it. I'm not one to call it medicine. Actually, I find it kind of cringe when people call it medicine.
Oh, but, why?
But
it's medicinal, baby.
Correct. Look, Rasta. Rastafari.
It's medicinal, baby. All right. So then we got the couch locker. One hit and it's game over. Netflix on, phone off, snacks ready. This smoker's in the couch now. This smoker is the couch.
That's actually, I hate to say this. I'm so sorry to say this. That's Nurse Susan. That's Nurse Susan. We call that a Nurse Susan.
Okay. And then we have the ghost. The ghost came through, sparked it up. And dip. No warning, no goodbye, just a trail of smoke and a mystery.
This is a man called Andre Davis.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's not going to be mad about it. He knows exactly what he does.
We have, and then this one's me. The Smoke Bag Bandit, a.k.a. a traveling dispensary. Mini tray, check. Gas, check. Grinder, check. Wraps, check. Papers, edibles. Oh, yeah. We don't show up. We set up shop. This is my smoke bag right here.
That's great. It looks like you're watching a movie from Iowa in 1932, and the town doctor is coming to check on why.
Yeah, got my little smoke. Yep.
I don't know. We're gonna try this. We're gonna try Coca-Cola first. And we're gonna do this.
Then we got the philosopher. They get high and start thinking deep. It starts with, "You ever think about?" And then it ends with, alternate dimensions, and serial mascots. So yes, that I was. Now, when did I do this? I was lit the other night, and I sat down and was like, "What can I write?"
That's
tonight?
A pretty good description of a lot of very true tropes.
I have some more. I got like 20 of these, and I'm putting these on a tray. These are going to go on this big rolling tray.
Oh, that's fun.
So yeah, I'm going to have a tray. And speaking of a tray, now normally.
Look at this.
I do that right?
Say somebody came and saw like what the studio is like and knows this is a fucking high class joint.
So yeah. So
now I got a high times tray.
Yes, you have a high times tray.
That
is my thank you to you.
This is so beautiful.
I appreciate that.
I love
it. I'm working
on it.
You
can see I'm a tray guy. I got a tray here.
You got a tray there?
I got the fan. Like I like little things like this.
I see you got your stash jars.
So I like stuff like this. Thank you very much.
You are very much welcome, sir. I appreciate you. I said I had to do something for my man.
I love it.
Mr. Vanilla. Yeah, so I appreciate you, man. So see, I'm the fun side of the advocacy. I'm showing people you can still have fun, baby. It's all good.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like all the advocates, no matter sort of what category they fit into, are, and I don't know if it was Zoe who said this, or maybe it was Tom Donovan. Somebody mentioned this explicitly in Rehoboth. These are some of the most, the nicest, sort of gracious, helpful, mellow, obviously, but...
Of course.
But people that you would ever want to meet. The most peaceful people. And it is weird that those are the people that get this kind of like weird ire or suspicion any of it, you know. And I always go back to the police thing, and I'm not going to bring it down because we're not going to bring it down.
Don't harsh my mellow.
Yeah,
is that what they say? Don't harsh my mellow.
They do say that. but it is cool. Like no matter what sort of category one might fit into. Generally, that person has worked their way into something that works for them,
right?
And they're totally cool with it.
Like you know, it doesn't hurt. You know, I guess long time ago, before they came up with these many various strains and everything that they're doing, you remember back in the day, you used to go buy a bag and it was like a $5 bag, and you could roll like 8 joints out of a $5 bag.
Yeah. I mean, I do talk with some buddies like at the pub and stuff. I'm like, yeah, remember you have seeds and stuff. Mm-hmm. Last time I haven't seen a seed in ages.
I haven't seen one in ages either. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start growing me a plant. And I was like, I can't even find a seed. Now you got to pay $50 for one.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I was like, I wish I would have kept them seeds all these years. But yeah. So like I said, I appreciate you having me on the show, Highlands Bunker. I really appreciate that. This is something different and something that we're getting ready to embark upon. We're embarking upon a podcast. High Times podcast is going to be High Times, High Conversations. High Conversations with with Goldie and Prince, because Goldie's my alter ego. He's I don't know, he's from the 70s. He's a 70s.
We love
guy.
Alter egos here because that's sort of my little gag too. Is my alter ego is me.
Is you?
So I say like crazy stuff and like we do these. Like sometimes I act like I don't know what's going on or like I start like argue like the classic shock jock thing of starting arguments.
Okay.
Like I do all of that kind of stuff and the people who listen to it get it.
Right.
But there are people who like, especially because we interview like state reps, state senators,
right.
U.S. I've interviewed the governor, all this stuff. Because we are legitimate news and legitimate coverage, people kind of like catch it once in a while and they don't know what the bit is. It's pretty funny because it gets controversial like that when you have like a little, you're like, well, that wasn't really. I mean, I'm doing a. I feel like you can't explain the joke. You just have to be like,
you just have to
I'm doing it. A show.
You have, yeah,
like,
I'm doing
it's a show.
Show.
Like,
it's a show.
It's a show.
That's what
like,
it is.
Like, I know you don't understand, maybe, or like, you don't, you know, it's not on the television or on the radio in the car, maybe, and you don't get it. So that's okay.
That's why you open up your minds, baby. You know, you got to lift up. You got to inhale something real good, and then you can understand where we're coming from.
That's a great move. I do. Because I've smoked like in public a long time. Mm-hmm. When you go back into a bar or a restaurant or something, and a few people will catch a whiff of like some really good weed, and they'll be like, "Oh man," you know. Or even if they're like a little bit mad, and they'll say, "Oh, it smells like weed in here," I'll be like, "You know what? You're welcome. Whatever contact high, you can look at that as my gift to you.
That's my gift to you.
Yeah. So yeah. You know what."
That's
you
what
know,
it
I'm
is.
I'm not going to charge you for that one,
right? So, I'm again ever grateful for you having me on. Don't forget, we are on the first and third Mondays over at WJVS. Download the radio app. It's WJVS, and I'm on there first and third Mondays. And don't forget our High Times channel, YouTube channel, HYGHTYMES. It's me, Mr. C, aka Goldie, and I want to leave you with a little tidbit for your hustle. You don't grind for the shine, you glow from the soul. Your vision's too clear and your heart's too bold. Every no that you hear, that was your fuel in disguise. Now you rise with the sun and you hustle with wise eyes. That's from Goldie, baby. Y'all stay lit and stay legendary. Thank you.
I love it. Thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome, man. I appreciate you having me. I really do. I don't want to take up too much time, but it's been fun.
Lovely.
And I think I'm going to enjoy doing a podcast.
Yeah, we do this we do this once a week.
You do this once a week?
Something like this. We just did one.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to come over some more and have to. I'm going to have to buy some time over here at your spot and do one once a week myself until
nice.
I get it together.
Actually, it's interesting. We never... we never finished that conversation.
Of Maybe course, we'll that's get what happens that when you start smoking, right? You start smoking. That's another one that I have. One of my smokers. That is it's when you're having a conversation, and you say something, and then you say something different than what's going on in the conversation, and you start a whole nother conversation, and then we come back to the conversation.
The old non sequitur friggin' exit rant. I know it well. I learned a lot of. Look, I'm going to be 51 years old, so the only thing I can keep in my mind is one mantra and one mantra only, just to focus my mind. And that mantra is, everybody knows it, left is best.
Mm-hmm.